Welcome to the Healing Trauma as a Christian Mama podcast. My name is Danielle Elizabeth, and here we dive into emotional healing and trauma recovery from a Christian perspective, also integrating psychology and trauma modalities to support your healing and growth. Today is a really special episode. I have my husband, Lauren, on the podcast, and today we're sharing our story publicly for the first time. I won't spoil too much, but our story is one that has everything you can possibly imagine. Toxic dynamics, abuse, addiction, codependency, you name it, it's there. And we don't share our story from a perfect place now, but are just here to share the raw and real facts of our story and hope that sharing our story will just help at least one couple find hope and freedom from toxic dynamics. If today's episode resonates with you, I would love to hear from you. Reach out on any social media, email, or platform that you can find me, and let's connect. So without further ado, here's today's episode. I wanted to have you on the podcast to share a little bit about our story and hopefully give maybe some other couples that are out there that are sitting where we were a few years ago, some hope in their situation.
Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Thanks for being here. So let's just rip the Band-Aid off first and just kind of put it all out there. So kind of at the end of 2021 and for about like half of 2022, we were separated for 10 months, but I think our story goes a little bit beyond that, before that. I think we've always had kind of a challenging dynamic with different things that were like, we both have our own mental health struggles and different things like that. And so I think for a long time, it was easy to kind of put some of these issues under those umbrellas. Would you like agree with that to an extent?
Yeah, for sure.
But then I think when we were pregnant with our fourth daughter, who was a little bit of a surprise.
Surprise.
That escalated things to kind of a more intense dynamic. And we kind of started to reach out for some help, and we went to our pastor and some, I think I was probably seeing a counselor myself at that time, but we weren't doing anything together. And I think they tried to help us in a few different ways, and then got to the point of, you know, we've tried a lot of different things. Nothing's really making it better. And our pastor actually gave us a recommendation that we needed to kind of create some space between us because it was just becoming so toxic. And obviously we had, I mean, at that point we had, you know, four kids. Like we had Michaela at that point. Things escalated to such a point where I actually ended up spending like a week in the hospital in the mental health ward, not solely because of this, because my own mental health was really struggling as well, but it all played into it. And so, yeah, at that point, we kind of tried to listen to the advice we were getting, but like, there was a lot of resistance there, right? Like, especially on your part, like you were not really interested in following through that separation piece at the beginning. Like I think I would just take Michaela because she was like months old and go stay at a friend's house for a few days and then it would come back kind of thing. Like that's how we did it for a little bit. What would you say about that time, like where you were at, what you were feeling and thinking about why you were kind of being so resistant to not following through with that?
I know there was a lot of bitterness and resentment towards having a fourth child that, you know, not specifically Michaela, but just a child unborn, was kind of like, I don't want a fourth child. And so there was a lot of just drama around that.
So then after that, we ended up getting kind of a physical separation in the sense of circumstances, because we ended up having to move out of our friend's house that we were living in. And we were actually starting to build this house, and the pandemic had just started, and we couldn't find anywhere to rent while we were building. So me and the kids ended up moving to a town actually where my mom lived and spent the summer there. And that kind of gave us a bit of a physical separation, because you were here building the house, I was there with the kids, and you would come on weekends, and it was kind of enough breathing room that we started to kind of find some grounding again, I guess, too, right?
We weren't specifically working on anything at that time. It just created the space, but there was no actual active participation on my behalf to make any changes. All it did was just delay making any effort on my behalf. So building the house just gave me a new focus. And we had the space, and yeah, I could come on the weekends and be all happy and, you know, glad to see my family, because, you know, I didn't have to deal with them 7 days. I only had to deal with, you know, our crazy children for 2 days a week.
Well, and also, now that I'm thinking about it, that was kind of really when I started my own healing. Like, I was doing like very intense, like few days a week counseling. And you would even come up on the weekends, and we would do, there was like a family course of that we did. I don't know if you remember that, like with Stephanie Tucker. And, because at that point for me, I was on this healing journey. I was realizing that I was like using alcohol and pills to like cope with all of the stuff that was going on. And so that summer actually became a little bit more focused on my healing and like me kind of trying to like find my own recovery and a lot of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so you would come up and we would do that. It was a program to like for you to learn how to support me in like that recovery piece too. So we weren't really like actively working on our stuff, but as I was healing, I was learning how to be a little bit healthier myself, kind of thing. And I think that actually, as much as that was a little bit helpful for the situation, it was a little bit harder too, because it was creating more of a different dynamic between us, because I was kind of getting healthier in some areas, which then made me start to like see your unhealthiness probably more. And then it became almost more of a gap of like where we were on an emotional and mental level, I guess, maybe too. But yeah, so then me and the kids moved back, and it was okay for a little bit. Like we were kind of, I think that the biggest piece of this is that we had been living in this very dysfunctional way for like years and years and years at this point. So we kind of knew how to live in it, right? Like unless these like big things weren't happening, we could kind of like live on a bit of a surface level. Like when we were living in like Eagle Lake and stuff, like it was just like nothing really major or bad was happening. There was just this underlying kind of like dynamic that was still there, but it was our normal at the same time too, that it really only came to a head at the kind of near the end of that. And then we were all moving and we were going to live in the trailer for the summer. And that's, I think, when things started to kind of show a little bit more that like, okay, there's more here that we can't start. We're just stuffing it down, maybe, I guess. And not dealing with it. And then we lived the summer, and actually it's funny because there were six of us in how many feet is that trailer? 34-foot trailer. And you think going into that small of a space in the dynamic that we had would have like been so bad, but it actually was like, it was a pretty good summer. Like it was like, in the sense of, I think you started counseling on your own that summer, because we were kind of getting closer to the end of the house build, and we kept having these conversations like, if we don't fix this dynamic, we're going to have this beautiful house that we just built and no family to move into it. I remember saying that a lot, and you were like, that was not, you did not like that
statement. I remember you saying that for sure. You know, it just made me feel like I was doing this all for nothing, you know, that I would be working so hard on building this home, but I wasn't doing the real work of fixing our relationship and the things that were causing the actual harm, right?
Yeah. So then we moved in to the house, and I think that's when things really just exploded. Like, I think we were kind of talking before this about how, you know, at that point too, that's when a lot of like the different mandates and stuff were coming from our government and stuff. And we did not see eye to eye on that. And so that was like the straw that broke the camel's back, I think, in all this underlying stuff, just having that like very fundamental, because it was just, it was such a big part of our life at that point too, as in all, like, you know, people in Canada who, with these mandates coming, and, you know, we had to live under that, and not seeing eye to eye on that was just like kind of just
a new added stress to the already unhealthy dynamic in our house.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, not agreeing eye to eye on vaccinations and mandates and all this stuff being forced upon us by our government.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason we like wanted to talk about that on this episode too is that, like, you know, that you hear that a lot about how much the last 2 years has impacted different people's relationships, and whether that's marriages or families or even friendships, right? Like,
so many wedges driven into relationships.
Yeah.
Over really just morals. Like, people,
yeah,
people are allowed choice, you know, freedom of choice. And when that's taken away from you, you know, whether it was right or wrong on their behalf, they still had to make that decision as a government. But, you know, it definitely makes it a challenge in relationships when all of a sudden you're like, because I was forcing my opinions and feelings onto you and not letting you have the ability to choose for yourself. So I would be like, no, we're all taking vaccinations. No, we're not doing that. That's not for us. And, you know, I wasn't even letting you choose. We wouldn't even have that discussion. I was just being very stubborn and resistant to, you know, what the world was trying to seek as a solution to this virus.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think too, that it was like, it wasn't the mandates or the vaccines or whatever that like caused the problem or the rift necessarily. Yes, it was the straw that broke the camel's back, but it was like, it was highlighting all the dysfunction underneath, right? So it was like highlighting all the things that we were like, had been stuffing for years. And so it was like this one thing just like brought it onto the surface. And then it was like so emotional, because it wasn't just about mandates and vaccines anymore. It was like about all this underlying like toxicity that we like had there. And so anyways, all to say that not long after we moved in, it got to the point where we had to separate, because I think the bigger factor in that choice too was our kids. Like, our kids were getting older. We were like so unable to shield them from this dynamic anymore. And it was kind of like, to some degree, we both, like, whether it was like conscious or not, like, could see that like we can't continue to like let them live in this dynamic, right? And so it was like, we kind of had to do that. And we had literally just built this house, moved in. Like, it was probably like weeks at this point, like it was not long. And so financially we didn't have the option to just go, you know, one of us go rent a house and live separately. And we also were really trying to not put our kids in a position where it was going to be so disruptive to their life. So anyways, because of all of that, Lauren ended up moving downstairs into our basement and I stayed upstairs with the kids. And those first few months were very rough. Like
the literal doghouse. Slept on a mattress in the corner of a basement.
You started there. We like upgraded you as it went, as time went on. You got a bed, I think, at one point.
No, it was like my Therm-a-Rest and a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Then I got to a mattress.
Yep.
And I upgraded to the couch.
No, you got the room. You had a room at one point, remember? The back bedroom.
Yeah.
And you had your own room. And then we decided to move the girls down there. So you got kicked out of that room and then you went to the couch.
Then I went to the couch, yeah.
But the couch was like a bed. So, I mean. The
couch was kind of an upgrade.
But yeah, like the first few months.
We can laugh about it
now.
But you had a king size bed, a pillow topper. So.
But I also had all the kids in there because they were so like perceptive to what was going on that they were so like unsettled that. I'm pretty sure I slept on the sliver of that quick king size. I don't know if that makes you feel better.
I'm sure somebody snuggled into my mattress with me at some point.
Yeah. And then the cats. it's funny, not funny, but it's interesting that we can laugh at some of these moments now.
Yeah. In the moment, it wasn't funny at all.
It wasn't funny. Then those first months, like, those were really, really rough months because we couldn't really be in the same room well. And so we really had to like make a schedule with the kids of like, you have them on Monday nights and I would go out. And then like, you would like them come, I would like, we would swap back and forth with the kids and stuff. And like, even just like being in the same room for like minutes would just like turn into something really ugly. And so, but I think also at that point too, you were pretty resistant to that separation piece those first few months.
Yeah, like I didn't want to be separated in my own home. I didn't want separation in general. So, but we knew that was the first step in needing help. And we knew that we had to seek help individually first. Like there was no way we were going to ever get through any counseling together or working on ourselves or working on our relationship as two people coming together. We needed to fix the things in our own lives before we could even contemplate coming back together. Yeah. And so we worked on ourselves for, well, I started counseling for probably a year.
Yeah, like you were doing counseling. I was doing counseling. We tried to do counseling together. And like we did one session and realized like this is not going to help. And since I further like been in this world of, you know, psychology and destructive relationships and stuff like that, I've learned how that is actually like going to make things, it ends up making things worse because there's such a toxic dynamic at play that there's no like safety in that therapeutic process. And like, I've said this before to people, like, I think if we had just tried to continue to do counseling at that point, like, we would not have a marriage anymore. Like, I think it was just like, it would have actually been so bad for us.
Well, we weren't addressing things in the right order.
Yeah.
If you don't work on yourselves and the things that it's like backpedaling to where you started going wrong in life. I learned how to talk to women from a certain person in my life who was a good person, but they used the wrong words. They were verbally abusive to someone in my life. And so then as a child, I just learned that. And it was just an environmental thing. It wasn't like, oh, this is how you talk to a woman. You should talk about her body image or, you know, things like that. It was just more of a learned behavior that subconsciously I never thought about. But then all of a sudden you see those things come up in your own mind and you're like, this is just not how you talk to someone. But it's like I never learned right and wrong to some degree, which seems ridiculous, but the reality is you just start saying hurtful, mean things and they're so destructive and toxic. So when I started doing my counseling program, I learned a lot of things that I became super aware of, like, wow, I say horrible things and I'm being very destructive. And so I learned a ton in that program that helped set me back on, you know, a healthier path. And that was just one part of my journey, but it was necessary in order to start dealing with the root issues before we even thought about dealing with our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you were working on your own stuff and I was working on my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was months and months of independent, personal, you know, things to work through.
Yeah, like the first, honestly, probably like 6 months. Like when we separated, we kind of were like, okay, we're going to separate for 6 months. And you were really mad about that. Like you were kind of like, let's just do this for a month and go back to how we were. Because at that point too, like the beginning, you were just like, very resistant to change yourself.
It's probably three or four months of just resistance.
Yeah, like before, that's what I mean.
Before the actual separation started.
Yeah, well, but like we said, we were going to separate for 6 months, but we ended up actually being separated for 10 months because the first months, like, we weren't doing anything. So like you were
4 months of avoidance, and resistance.
Yeah,
and want to do anything.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until we started, that I literally just put my head down and said, I need to just do this.
Yeah. What do you think, that's what kind of what we were talking about before, like, what do you think was that turning point for you of like, okay, I'm being so resistant to this, but I think it was like a little bit of reality setting in too. Like we were sticking to it. It wasn't like you were kind of able to just like kick and scream and get your way. And I would like be like, okay, fine, whatever, move back upstairs. Like it was like months of like, no, we're sticking to this. And then
it's like trying to break in a horse.
Thought about analogy multiple times over this experience.
Need some sort of analogy. But the reality is there was no magic light switch moment. There was no like, oh, I'm just gonna change for my family. You know, it wasn't some Disney moment where I was like, it was just hard grinding work.
Yeah.
You had to just put your head down.
Well, I think you agreed to do, you were doing counseling. You agreed to do a program that was like to help learn how to be healthier in a relationship kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I was doing counseling and I was doing a program on how to heal from destructive relationships and how to like be with someone who might not be operating in the healthiest way and how to like have good boundaries and have like, you know, an ability to like stay emotionally safe or like what I was going to tolerate or not. And I know that this is like really heavily on you right now because that's just what the dynamic was at that point. But it wasn't like I was sitting here being like, oh, I'm perfect. You're being horrible. I think we were in this toxic cycle where we were reacting to each other, right? So like I was very much reacting to a lot of this stuff too in very unhealthy ways myself. And so I just say that because I know that this, our journey, it can be way heavier on you and your stuff. But I think that
it was very easy for me to take blame because of my low self-esteem and the way that I address things. It was super easy for me to just be like, oh, I'm the problem, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is that it brought up a ton of stuff for you that you knew you had to start addressing. Mm-hmm. Like you literally had a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Like you, it broke you.
Yeah.
And it forced you to say, oh, I guess I am part of the issue. Mm-hmm. What do I need to work on? Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to bring that to your attention. That was like you figuring that out for yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, you know, I've had a literal mental breakdown too. And you know, it put me in a very vulnerable and rock bottom kind of place, you know, that I had to work through, you know, when we moved back to Ontario, and it was kind of the beginning of our, I don't know, really, it was like a stepping stone into where we are now. Cause mm-hmm. if we never came back full cycle, like we could have just lived in this fictitious lifestyle,
yeah,
and unhealthy, toxic, you know,
yeah.
I mean, things could have went south
yeah.
a long time ago. And for whatever reason, we just kept living in it. Mm-hmm. And again, what was that specific turning point is just that some people eventually just say enough is enough. I can't live like this anymore. But so many people just continue to live in that cycle of mm-hmm. abuse. And, you know, whether it's verbal or physical or whatever, you know, people just, they just kind of accept it and live with it. But mm-hmm. the reality is nobody needs to live in that, right? Like I said horrible, mean things and, you know, tried to push you away for many years in this unhealthy manner. And so, you know, when I, through my counseling programs, I learned, you know, how to be respectful and how to talk and, you know, the things and the toxic traits that I identified through my program of things that I needed to specifically change. Some things are issues for some people and other things aren't. But when you start to identify them and own them, and then you start to become more aware of it in your day-to-day life. So you're like, oh, before I open my mouth and say that thing I shouldn't, you know, it became more of an awareness. So again, mm-hmm. it wasn't like this light switch moment where I was like, oh yeah, I'm just going to change everything today. No, mm-hmm. it was like slow growth. It mm-hmm. was every day I'd learn something new, mm-hmm. or, you know, weekly when I was meeting. And so I'd learn something new and then I'd apply it. And then I'd learn something new and I'd apply it. And then eventually you just start to gain back some trust. You start to see change in someone. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen overnight. It mm-hmm. takes months and months of, you know, putting your head down and just doing the work. You know, it doesn't, you won't see, it's almost like the growth is so slow that you didn't see it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, 6 months down the road, time's passed. Mm-hmm. We've made enough effort on ourselves individually that you start to see, like, you know, pointed out through some of our counseling. It was like, oh, so, you know, have you noticed anything? And then you're like, well, actually, you know, I have seen A, B, or C, mm-hmm. you know, and then you start to be like, you almost have to ask, somebody else has to point out the question. Like, I don't know, maybe you can think of some examples, but like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, I know. Well, it was months of like,
but somebody else had to point it out. Like, you wouldn't necessarily be like, oh, I noticed that you're doing the dishes more.
Yeah.
But somebody else might say, has he been doing the dishes more? And then they're like, actually, yeah, he has.
Right.
You know, I guess yeah. just you needed somebody else to mediate that.
Mm-hmm. And we were so in it, right? Like we were like, so at first, the first months, we like, it was just so, we couldn't even be near each other. And then it got to the point where it's like, you were working on yourself. I was working on myself. So we could start to be civil. And so we could start, like, we started to do things with the kids together. Like we'd have like a family movie night or like take them somewhere together. Or like,
it was like baby steps.
Yeah. And then we had this like kind of date in mind. I was doing a half Ironman because I'm clearly crazy.
Because you're a boss.
And so we had this date. It was like July 11th or something like that. And we were kind of like, okay, we're going to like reassess this separation and reassess this relationship at that point. And then I think like in the spring, you had been doing your counseling, and it was interesting because I remember this very clearly. I remember starting to feel like I was on a run one day, and I was like, you know, we're kind of actually at this point where we're like really both getting healthier separately, that we could maybe start working together, like, and actually going to counseling together. And I came home, and that night you were like, so I was talking with my counselor today, and we were just talking about how, you know, when we get to this date in July, like, how are we going to assess anything if there's no real relationship there? Like, because even though we were being civil, it was still very separate. Like, you know, unless we were doing something with the kids, we were very like not really in each other's lives that much, kind of thing. And so that was at that point we decided to start counseling together. And that was like, for me, if I could pinpoint like a, and I agree with you, there's no real like this magical moment where things really started to like this big turning point or whatever. But I think when we started counseling together, that was a trajectory for me. Like, it was like those months before, like there were so many moments I didn't know if that this was going to work, like if we were going to make it. And I think by the time we started counseling together, it was like, okay, we're on the same road again. Like, we're not at any destination, but we're like on the same road. And I think before it felt like I'm lost in a forest, like there's no road here, kind of thing. Like, so for me, it was like, that was a big turning point, was like, we're doing this counseling together. And I think that the counselor that we still work with was just phenomenal and amazing and such a blessing from God to us, that he was kind of able to be like, I don't know, see where we were at and see what we needed to rebuild this relationship. Like, I don't know if you remember, I used to use this analogy a lot because, well, I have a program called The Rebuild, but also we were building a house and all this stuff. And we were kind of like, realized that our relationship had been started on almost on such an unhealthy trajectory. Like, it was just like the foundations that we had were, we were just both so unhealthy ourselves, even probably when we first met, kind of thing even. And so it was like, I remember we used to talk about how like we just needed that. It was like, we needed this relationship to die so that we could like rebuild something new. And
hey, we built a new house.
I know.
Starting.
I know.
Cause we
great analogy.
Hey, yeah. If we keep running with that, cause like this town has a bunch of just crappy fixer uppers. And, you know, I always, the first thing I do when I look at fixer upper, if we'll call it that, is, you know, overpriced garbage in our town. But, you know, you look at, the first thing I did is, I didn't care what cosmetics and lipstick they put on the pig. It was, I'm going to look at the bare bones. What does the foundation of this house look like? Because a house is only as strong as its foundation. You know, you can make it look gorgeous on the inside, but if the foundation is crap, you're not going to be able to work with it.
Right.
Right. So, you know, I recognize that, you know, moving forward, I didn't want to spend all my hard-earned dollars on a home that needed all of this work to just make it look like it had curb appeal. We needed a fresh start. Mm-hmm. We needed to invest in something that was going to last.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I went to ICF, because it's the best. Shameless plug. Warren Foyse Contracting. ICF new builds. Hashtag ICF is awesome. Hashtag Amvig.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Anyways, but the reality is, I think that's actually a good analogy. When you think about, you look out there and you think, oh man, that they look pretty good. You know, that relationship looks pretty solid.
Yeah.
And you realize that they have a crumbling foundation.
Yeah.
Know, that's why, you know, all the references and scriptures of Christ being the rock and the cornerstone and all of those things. Like, it's actually funny how I've been reflecting on some of this stuff and talking about, you know, kind of building homes out of concrete and stone and on bedrock. It's almost been this epiphany of me and just like building that foundation for people, like, you know, putting like my best effort into building people their homes on the rock, which we have a ton of up here. And so, you know, It's just kind of interesting metaphor for me lately, is just thinking about how I invest so much time in building this solid, strong home for people and just giving it my all, so that, you know, I've given 110% to someone else as well. But it's also a reflection of our own lives, right? Like, you know, you're not, like, not everyone is a home builder, but the same thing applies. You can just, you can whitewash it and you can live that horrible lifestyle and live in those abusive relationships and do all that. And on the outside, you can put the pretty siding on and upgrade the windows and put new floors in. But if there's weeds crawling through your cellar walls and the foundation's crumbling, it's not going to last. There is, right. You know, there is no long-term gain to that because you're not addressing the issues. If mm-hmm. you want to fix that relationship, you got to underpin that foundation. You got to pour some walls. You got to dig stuff up that's a little messy, mm-hmm. a lot messy. And you start uncovering, like, oh man, things are really bad with this house. You know, every renovation nightmare that's ever happened has been as soon as you pull that drywall off the walls and realize the electrical's a fire hazard and the plumbing is garbage. And it just, until you expose it, mm-hmm. you really aren't doing any work. Mm-hmm. And so for months, we just avoided it. It's like, I don't know. Maybe I should go up in the attic and see if there's insulation. Nah, let's just live with it. Cause it's not actually, like, it's not posing an issue right now. Like, the ceiling's not leaking. I mean, maybe it is. Oh, those shingles do look like they need to be replaced. We'll probably get a couple more years out of them, you know? And
yeah,
you're just, so for me, it's always a constant analogy of building, but it's quite applicable when you think of, like, how much work people need to put into things, but we avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's go on a vacation instead of spending money on the shingles, and let's go have fun for a weekend in Cuba and, you know, forget about our woes. But you come home and nothing's actually accomplished.
Right.
You're just exhausted and broke.
I remember talking to someone. I got connected with this program called ARMS. It's a ministry program. It's called Abuse Recovery Ministries. And I remember talking to one of the ladies there, and I was like, well, like, Lauren, he's going to counseling and all this stuff. And she was like, that's good. Like, his own healing is good, but it doesn't change the, like, deep-seated belief systems of, like, of the dynamic. Like, it doesn't get to the root problem. And so it's kind of like what you were just, it just reminded me of what you were saying. Like, it's good. Like, you know, you might be, like, starting the renovation, if we're going to go with this metaphor, but, like, you're not getting to, like, the really big root problem. Like, you're not uncovering and exposing the real problem and dealing with that. And so I talked to so many people, and this is why I wanted to say this, because I talked to so many people who are like, well, you know, my husband's going to go to counseling and stuff. And it's like, it's kind of disheartening to be like, that's good, but it's not good enough. Cause I remember being so mad when that lady told me that. I was like, what do you, like, he, like, for like 5 years, I've been trying to get this man into counseling because of this. And you're saying that's not good enough. But I think you can even speak to, now that you've done, like, this program and counseling, that you can see that there was a difference in that, right? Like, that's what really was a catapult for your change. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyways. So then we started doing counseling together, and I think I even wrote down a few things of, like, what he really did help us with. Like, I think one of the biggest things was when we first started, we kind of committed to, like, actually leaving the past behind, because I think for years we were trying to leave the past behind, so to speak, without actually dealing with it. So it was like not really going away. But by the time we started doing counseling, like, we actually got to that point of, like, we let that old relationship die. So now it's like, if we were going to start this new road, it was like, we had to commit to, like, not using the past against each other. Cause I think that was a big part of our dynamic, was like, well, 5 years ago you did this, and I'm still going to continue to try and punish you for it. Right. Or, like, you know, 3 years ago you said this one thing to me, and I'm never going to let it go.
It's easy to hold on to those things, that's your ammunition.
Yeah.
Right. So when you have a fight and you need to, you know, you need some ammunition for that fight, you just look back on the past and you're like, remember that time you said that thing?
Mm-hmm.
It just creates a lot of bitterness and resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't let that go and forgive each other, then you're just banging your head against the wall.
Yeah. Like, I think and that was my next piece, was like kind of in that, was like that forgiveness piece. And it's interesting because I remember one of the first times we sat down with someone to try and help us, they started talking about forgiveness. And it's interesting because the church's perspective, and like, do not get me wrong, forgiveness work is the most powerful work I've ever done in my own healing journey. So and forgiveness is a biblical thing that we need to like still do. But when you start with forgiveness, when there's so much hurt there and there's so much pain there and there's so much unhealthiness there, it actually started to become like almost like an enabling thing. It was like, we'll just forgive each other and then continue to be awful to each other.
I'm so sorry that I said that mean thing to you. Right.
Yeah. That's and it was like, okay, just, I'm going to forgive you. And then the next time you're mad, you're going to do it again.
It's like when your kid, you know, punches the other kid and they're like, go tell your sister you're sorry. You know, like you're just forcing someone to do something that's really not causing change.
Yeah. And now that I've been kind of in this world and I coach a lot of women who happen to be in very similar relationships to what we had, like I see how hurtful that starting with that forgiveness piece is, because a lot of times there just needs to be more like validation and more like, okay, I believe you, what's happening, rather than just like, just forgive. But I think by the time we were doing counseling together, that's where forgiveness became really appropriate and really needed to be done, because we were both still kind of like holding on to, like, it was almost like, it was like, if I forgive, then I have to let go of all my ammunition. So neither of us were like, really like, I want to let go of that, because we didn't have any trust there yet. Like to be like, but if I let go of mine and you don't let go of yours, then I'm now vulnerable if it goes back to that same dynamic. So I think like, it was like a big stepping stone for us to be able to both be like, I can put these weapons down. I can forgive. I'm committing to letting go of the past. And we say this in like a lot of like hindsight, like it was messy. Like this was not like, yep, I'm going to let go of the past. Yep, I forgive. And now everything's like hunky dory, right? Like it was like a lot of like having to call each other out on like, that's you bringing up the past, or that's you like not forgiving right now and stuff, right? Like it was a very messy road that we were on.
Yeah, I don't think each time we forgave each other, we forgave each other.
Yeah, probably.
It was more like, I forgive you, part one. Hey, you said you were going to forgive me. Forgive you, part two.
Then fast forward, part 823.
But eventually you do forgive and forget.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, even like, we probably don't even forget, right? Like, it's like,
I don't think people do forget.
Yeah.
I think that people are naturally untrusting. So when you get hurt, you don't trust.
Yeah.
Right.
It takes a long time to rebuild that.
It's, yeah. The actual forgiveness is the rebuilding of the trust.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The change is the forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the repentance portion of it is, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm going to change. And then when someone sees that you've made that change, they're like, they're not bringing it up, or they're not doing that same behavior. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, you notice how you don't call me dumb anymore? Well, I maybe, you know, and like that,
yeah.
That is the change. That is the forgiveness, is when you see it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe.
No, it's true. There's actually even a quote that's like, apologies without change is just manipulation. And I feel like that's where we live for like
years. No, I was very manipulative and horrible for many years. And, you know, it wasn't until I started making my personal growth changes and changing my actual behaviors that we started to see any real results, right? It was only after you know, months of working on our own issues and then stopping those old behaviors, mm-hmm. that it started to become real change. Mm-hmm. And so forgiveness just follows with that. Like,
yeah, no, very well put. So another thing that he really helped us with was like learning how to like have healthy communication. Cause I think the problem with both of us is we came from these places of not knowing how to like communicate healthy. So then we get into this relationship and it just takes on a life of its own. And so now we're like, okay, we're going to leave the past behind. We're going to like be healthy now and stuff. And then we realize very quickly, like, we have no idea how to do that. Like neither of us knew how to communicate healthy. And so he was like, literally like step by step walked us through like, okay, you have a conflict. This is what you're going to say. This is what you're going to say. Not like what you're going to say, but this is what you're going to do. And he taught us how to like bring things to the other person that might even be bothering us and not get defensive. And, you know, and like, I haven't even written down the Dan way, because that's just like our counselor's awesome name. And he like, you know, he literally would make us do it in front of him, right? Like, because I think we got to this point too, at the beginning of the counseling, it's like we couldn't deal with anything outside of counseling. Like we had to like bring everything to counseling to get the help to communicate through it. Like if I was like if we went through a stressful few weeks and you started showing patterns or like behaviors of those old ways, if we started to try and like talk about it and figure it out ourselves, it would erupt into something. And so we like would bring it to him and be like, okay, this is what's happening. And he would like literally teach us how to like communicate about it. And I think that's been like probably one of the most foundational things in this rebuilding of our relationship is like learning this healthy communication.
It's funny how we just don't learn those things, you know, from our parents and schools or leaders or whoever. Yeah. It's funny like how little effort is actually
put into
learning proper communication.
Yeah,
like it's pretty brutal, really. I mean,
we learned about parallelograms, but not healthy conflict resolution.
Yeah, like that's literally what my program was. It's like conflict resolution.
Yeah,
like that's like,
yeah, I think that's actually when it was part of the name, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's literally starting from scratch. This is how you talk to someone. This is unhealthy when you say something negative to them. And you're just like,
yeah.
I remember actually saying to her in one of my sessions, like, I didn't learn this stuff.
I remember you sitting right here, and we had a calming corner right here and had all these emotions on it. And every time our kids were like getting upset, we would like sit with them and be like, okay, what emotion do you feel? And how does that feel? And all this stuff. And I remember you sitting here being like,
public school.
I am learning emotions alongside my 4-year-old. Like, I remember you being like, no one ever taught me any of this stuff. And I'm like learning it with our kids right now. And like,
that was pretty humbling, really. To just look over at the calendar and be like, or the poster on the wall that we had set up, and it was like, I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling frustrated.
Yeah.
Like identifying emotions.
Yeah.
Like identifying them. Yeah. You know, like I'm a 40-year-old and I'm literally learning how to identify emotions.
Yeah.
I literally couldn't tell her a word about how I felt. Like, how does that make you feel? I would go over to the chart that my kids are using to identify their emotions so that I could pick a word. Mm-hmm. And it's not a literacy thing. Like I know what every single one of those words.
No, but it's literally, they call it like emotional intelligence. And like so much of our generation doesn't have that. Like,
because we never learned.
Yeah.
No one taught us it.
Yeah. I remember you sitting here also once and you were like, what does she mean about where do I feel anger in my body? Like, what does that even mean? That's having that doesn't even make sense.
Body cues and like identifying that, like when you're shaking because you're mad and like, or you're starting to get hot or flush or like like we are not in touch with our what was the words you used to say, like the personal awareness of those body cues.
And then that was like, I was like teaching it with the nervous system at that point, because I was like, oh, you want to hear about where this shows up in your body? Let me tell you. Yeah, I'm telling you, that exercise is great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so two more things that we were just going to highlight of like kind of what has been part of our rebuilding process is, one was just like starting to like kind of dream together again, I think has been a really cool part of this process of like dreaming of like, what do we want our life to look like? What do we want to do in our life? And like, I don't know, connecting over that. That's been
reconnecting
over that, because that's been something that's always been.
We used to talk together and plan together and want to do trips together and be a part of each other's lives. And it was just like so self-focused. And now it's like coming back together to be like, hey, remember that time when we want to do that thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I think creating the life that we like actually desire to live. Like, I think both of us really don't like that status quo of like just go to a 9-to-5 job and live like day to day. Like, we're both very.
That's what we're supposed to do.
We want to enjoy our life now, not when we're retired. And I think that this dreaming together piece that our counselor even brought into this journey for us has been really like revitalizing. And then the last thing, and this is, I'm springing this on Lauren a little bit, but he just rolled his eyes on me. So one, I think this has like been a big piece of it, is we had to create this prayer together and pray it like every day he started with 30 days, and like we were supposed to do it every morning and every night. I don't think we ever were that good.
I think we were consistent.
We got consistent, but I think that for both of us, that was like,
just in case Dan's listening, make sure we don't.
Oh yeah, Dan, if our counselor's listening to this, we definitely did it every day.
Totally.
No, he knows us well enough to know. He probably gave it to us to say twice a day so that we would do it at least once a day. Maybe he was like a psychology counselor.
We got to at least do this once today so we can tell.
But honestly, that was a game changer. Like, because I think.
Forced communication.
No, but it was the communication. It was cool because we were actually able to do that, like show our kids that, like, even in the morning, we were like, hey, mommy and daddy are going into this room to pray. Don't interrupt us. Like, I think it was like showing them this like unity again too. But then also, I think it was like inviting God into this relationship again. Like, we had been so disconnected ourselves, so then very disconnected from him. And so I think that was like this spiritual piece of it that was like really, really powerful. And anyways, I think that was, if I could put on a list of the things that I can see have been so helpful in this rebuilding process, that's definitely one of them. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking we could read our prayer as the way to like end this episode.
Dear God, thank you for saving this marriage. Thank you for giving us the strength and endurance for this last hard season, the determination to fight instead of taking the easy route and giving up.
Help Lauren lead our family, especially spiritually. Help us to be equal partners in parenting and life tasks. Help us to love one another and show grace to each other in the hard times, to be patient with our children, to follow the calling you have for our lives, to trust you with our finances, especially in times of uncertainty. Allow us the joy of being able to travel together, to be in your marvelous creation, that we dream together and work together to fulfill those dreams.
Quick to listen, slow to speak, with grace and understanding, to let go of the past, not to hold grudges, and move forward together. And leading by example, to teach our children and grandchildren how to follow you, and that we show our children what true love and respect are. To make it a priority to spend quality time together, to support and love, to support each other's goals and dreams, and to share your love to people locally and abroad through missions,
And we pray that we never go back to what our old relationship was. Amen.
Amen. So thank you for being here, Lauren. I know that this is going to help a lot of people, especially just hearing your perspective on things. I think is so much better than just hearing like the one-sided conversation of just me talking. So I appreciate you being here and being vulnerable and being humble and just sharing, you know, the things that you struggled with over this journey as well.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode and thank you for allowing us to be vulnerable with you. Like I said at the beginning, we don't share this from a place of perfection or a place where we have it all together, but a really honest and vulnerable place of trying to rebuild. If you need more support or you just need to talk to someone who gets it, please don't hesitate to reach out on any of the platforms I'm on.